The Call of Cthulhu Mystery Program is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other fine geek programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
Do you hear that? In the cruel blackness of night, an unknowable evil from beyond time cries out. What dark deeds unfold on the streets of Arkham? And which unwitting souls, innocent or impure, will succumb to the maddening call? The Call of Cthulhu.
Nerdy Show and America's Natural Utility Services bring you part four of the Call of Cthulhu Mystery Program. Tonight's strange story, Hot Leads and Dirty Deeds. Has this ever happened to you?
Lights out, everybody.
Hey, who put the lights out?
Well, I was just trying to save on gas.
Save on gas? Dear, I'm all for penny pinching, but there's no need.
No need? Whatever do you mean?
I've got wet gas.
I'll just crack a window.
Wet gas is a new affordable kind of gas from Brown.
Brown?
The Brown Gas Company. When I saw how much money we'd save, I couldn't pass on wet gas.
Hot diggity dog, that blows regular old natural gas away.
Ask your local gas supplier if they have Brown wet gas today.
A proud subsidiary of America's Natural Utility Services. And now, our featured program. The housemates at Big Mama's boarding house have split up on the investigation of their murdered acquaintance, Hannah Pickering. Ex-federal agents Sam Spade and Hank Jr. are outside of town, checking over the crime scene. Meanwhile, smooth-talking Cyril and dapper Miss Delaney head to an address found on a page torn from Hannah's diary. The whereabouts of the crazed Bible salesman, father-grandfather, are unknown.
You guys go check out the farmhouse. You guys knock on the door. It's an old New England farmhouse. This looks pretty well kept. It's not long until an old man answers the door. He's got a sheepdog at his side. This guy looks like he's somewhere between 65 and 100.
Is he a Bible salesman?
Probably not, as he's in a farmhouse, but who knows. He says, hey there. What could I do you for, gentlemen?
Federal agent Sam Spade, and I'm investigating the murder that occurred here last night. I was wondering if you had a moment to answer a few questions.
Oh, dear. Well, yes. My name's Ryder, Montgomery Ryder. What can I do to... You guys, come in. Let's talk to Sofa. Don't worry about Shep here. He don't bite. Heck, he can barely see.
I take off my hat and walk into the house and sit down on the sofa.
I'll follow, but I'm looking around like, it's weird.
Well, it's a small town, cozy people, federal agent.
Yeah, he makes...
Didn't even show a badge.
He makes you guys some coffee and then proceeds to sit down beside you guys and says, so, you guys are looking into the case, huh?
Yeah.
Terrible thing.
Did you know the victim?
No. I didn't even know anything happened until the police came to me this morning.
So you heard nothing outside?
No, I'm afraid not.
Any other people come up and down this road?
No, not really. I mean, we get people heading in and out of town, but that's it. The one thing that I wouldn't say there was really anything much happened. Unless you take much stock in dreams, I suppose. Had a nasty one last night.
Sure, why not? I've got time and a cup of coffee, and it hasn't gotten cold yet.
Well,
mind if I smoke?
Certainly.
I pretend to listen.
Well, dreams, they're funny things, but this one was... nasty. Woke up with the sweats. I was dreaming, going about my business, you know, like you do in your dreams. And all of a sudden, I just felt this terrible sickness, you see. And I looked down at myself, and I was covered in these nasty sores. They were just weeping and bleeding, and it was terrible. And it just kept flowing and flowing and didn't stop. By the time I was drowning in it, I woke up, and Shep was barking his head off.
What time did you wake up?
Oh, I don't remember, I don't know, maybe about a little after midnight, probably.
I asked him if he heard anything strange at all, like, after he woke up. Like, did he hear any commotion or trouble from the road or anything?
Nah, just Shep barking like the dickens.
Was he barking at you or barking at something else?
Barking like a crazy person. He kind of can't hear.
How's his nose?
His nose is okay, I suppose. I mean, you know, he still has it.
You think Shep would mind taking a walk with us, the four of us, out to that tree?
Sure. I'd be happy to come. Let's go, Shep. It's time we're going to have an adventure. We're going to help this nice policeman.
While we're walking out there, I want to know, if somebody manage it, live on it?
Are you just going to ask Mr. Ryder?
Yeah.
Oh, but the dump, yeah, there's a caretaker, Mr. Coffin or something like that.
Dun, dun, dun. Mr. Coffin.
Coffee.
Okay, so does the dog act weird as we get closer to the tree or anything?
Dog seems pretty sedate. Mm-hmm. Like he had to be roused to leave the house.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Ryder brings the dog out. You know, you guys walk up to where the tree is. Dog sniffs around, makes a couple barks and then growls and then kind of like does a circuit around behind Mr. Ryder and then just kind of plops down behind his legs.
So it was about 12:30 that you woke up from the dog barking?
Yeah.
Officer said the call came in around 1 a.m.
Well, thank you very much for the coffee. You've been very helpful.
No problem. No problem.
So we definitely got the time of death.
Well, have a good day, gentlemen. If you need anything, you know where to find me.
Absolutely. And we know where to find good coffee now.
Yep. And he and the dog potter back to their home.
I call out to the farmer, do you have a telephone in your house?
Yes, I do.
Would you mind calling us a cab? We'll be back here in maybe 30 minutes.
Certainly. That's a good idea. Tell him Agent Spade is looking for a cab. Certainly.
Thank you.
So smart.
Can do.
Hey, man, this ain't my first rodeo.
Have a good day, sir. And he makes his way back into the house. Okay, you guys wander your way up to the dump. Pretty quickly, the dump looks like it's kind of patched off into two areas. One is just a huge, disgusting pit with rancid, stagnant water at the bottom of it. It is just filled with garbage, both biological and mechanical in nature.
It's like
nature.
My toilet.
Outside of that, there's a little further, a little north of the pit is a fenced-in area that's more like a proper junkyard in the sense that it's covered in, you know, car parts, excess construction materials, all kinds of conceivably potentially useful junk, although a lot of it's exposed to the elements and has definitely seen better days. And further at the end of the fenced-in area, there's a rickety shack. Probably belongs to the groundskeeper.
This whole case is a waste of time. If this was somebody actually murdered the girl, why wouldn't they just drag the body out here and dump it? They had plenty of time. They had no reason not to. It's an animal attack.
I know what I'm about to say sounds crazy, but I think maybe that crazy father had an idea about... You said she was pregnant. You think maybe she was going to have a baby?
Well, that's usually the next logical course of
events. I mean, the night, like, she was going to have a baby. That's why she laid down. She laid down. She didn't know. We didn't see a track like she got knocked down or she was hunted down. She was staggered and then she laid down.
She hasn't been pregnant for that long.
Yeah, but father said that she may have had something unholy,
same
unholy going on.
Beat mama.
I know it sounds crazy, but I can't explain the tracks that I'm seeing. No one chased her down and no one ran away and she's dead.
She was drunk. She passed out. Bear or a wolf or a fox or something.
I didn't see a bear or a wolf or a fox track. I didn't see any of that.
You didn't see a lot of tracks and could barely, and we experienced trackers could barely see that she even laid down.
That's true.
Are you guys having this argument on the way to the dump?
Yeah, we must be.
Yeah. Right after we pass that pit, that clinches it for me. Yeah. This is a waste of time.
Because anybody could have just thrown him.
If I were a killer, even a dumb, stupid hit killer out in the middle of nowhere, I would have at least had the common sense to know that I could throw the body in here, and if somebody even did notice the smell at some point.
Well, hello there, gentlemen.
Ah, crap.
Hey, it looks like a rather dirty and unwashed fellow has come out of that lean-to shack. He has some grime-encrusted overalls and is pretty spectacularly unkempt to the point where you guys are having difficulty guessing this guy's age. He's got stubble covering his chapped cheeks, and he's got white hair that is dirty and ragged. This guy definitely looks like he has seen better days. He comes out and says, what can I do you for?
I put on my most winning, I'm so glad to be here, but my life sucks because this is so stupid. Now I've got to shake this slimy asshole's hand. Face, smile, walk up.
Shake his dirty ass, freaking filthy ass hands.
While he's doing that, I'm just going to try and...
It is slicked with grease of indeterminate origin.
While he's doing that, I'm going to casually scan the what I see in the dump, if there's any kind of tracks.
Okay. I'm Federal Agent Sam Spade, and I'm investigating the murder of the girl right up the road here.
Oh, so they brought the feds in it, huh?
Unofficially.
That's a... good? I don't know. What do you consider that? I guess good that you're here to help.
I consider it necessary.
Okay.
That is such a great agent answer.
So, what can I do for you, gentlemen?
Did you happen to hear anything or see anything last night?
Nope, afraid not. Don't really get too many people out here unless they're coming to dump things or, you know, collect junk. They need car pods or, you know, whatever.
Paper said some interesting things about transients. You get a lot of transients that...
Mostly the four-legged variety.
Such as?
You know, raccoons, seagulls.
Four legs?
Four-legged seagulls.
occasional bear.
I mouth over to my partner there.
Bear. Watch this. And he reaches down and grabs up a what looks like may have possibly been part of an ice box or something, and just hurls it off into the pit area, and just a flock of seagulls erupt into the air, cawing away. Yes. They ran so far away.
That's a lot of birds. What are they doing over there?
Well, you know, they tend to keep a lot of garbage here, so they eat it.
You mind if we look around?
Yeah, sure. You boys want to have... Come on.
And unlocking that gate for us?
Yeah, sure thing. He opens up the gate.
Okay. So we'll just kind of wander around for a bit.
Okay.
Bear.
Right, yeah,
bear. He said bear.
Well, the pit absolutely reeks, by the way. Yeah. Like, it's...
Since my search, my tracking skill was terrible that last roll, I'm just going to go for luck. See if I just get lucky seeing anything over here by the pit.
Okay.
Man, if this was any other game, my rolls would be kick-ass. But since we're rolling for the lowest thing...
Well, why are you looking for something? I mean, all right, I can look for it.
You notice there's a lot of terrible stenches. You find a lot of that.
55 out of, like, 85 or something ridiculous.
As you guys walk off, Mr. Coffin, the groundskeeper, has kind of, like, fallen a few steps behind you guys and has produced from somewhere on his person a flask that he is busily chugging away at.
Mr. Coffin?
Yeah, what's up?
This would go a lot easier if we weren't being followed.
Oh, I get it.
Is there a particular reason why you're following us?
Are you thirsty?
It's 10 o'clock in the morning, Mr. Coffin.
What? Oh, I guess it is. But listen, junkyard time ain't the same as normal time, but okay, fine.
Okay, well, using that logic, did you see or hear anything this morning or early yesterday evening?
Just the cops coming by.
So you heard them come by or you saw them come by?
Well, both. They talked to me, so I heard them and I saw them.
What you drinking there?
Oh, you know, water.
I take the glass, I smell it, and I look at the label on the bottle. Do those two things match up?
No.
I don't know if there'd be a label on the bottle at this time.
No.
What is it?
It is a hooch of some exceptionally powerful variety.
Where do you get this stuff? No, you know, I'm asking as a personal favor.
You need some?
Yeah.
Tell you what, $10, get you a barrel full.
How about I give you $1? And I don't let the official part of this step into the conversation.
Sounds like a deal. You got a deal, sir. Hang on. he grabs up from his shack a small bottle and hands it off to you. It is very clear, but there is definitely some sort of grainy particulate matter at the bottom.
You make this here?
No. I know some people.
That's what I was asking for with these people that you...
No. Well, they just, you know, they stop by occasionally, you know.
Okay, I'm going to take this with us.
I think we're tapped out. I don't know what else we can do over here.
I agree. Let's go. That cab's going to be here right now.
Yeah.
So
Cyril and Dolores make their way to the French Hills address, the address that you had found in Hannah's room.
Yeah.
We pull up to the house. What does it look like?
This house on North Sentinel Street looks like a giant rundown shithole, but that really, like, I would say shit is kind of giving it too much credit. This place should be condemned.
Where do we even start?
Well, I guess we knock on the door.
Yeah, it looks like it's about...
is it even occupied?
Probably about five stories tall. I mean, it's a big,
tall
house.
Does it
look
like people actually live here, or is it look condemned?
Oh, yeah. It looks run down as hell, but people definitely live here. You hear some noise coming down from it. Sounds like probably on the second floor there's somebody playing jazz music.
Oh, right up your alley, Cyril.
Yeah. How does it sound good? I mean, is it a record? Is someone playing music?
It is definitely white college kids playing jazz music.
It's,
Well, they're gonna be scared out of their mind.
It could be better, but, you know, it's something in this town.
Whatever that sound is, it's a sound that hasn't seen a day of suffering in its life.
That sounds about in the degree of bullshit I was expecting, all right?
Knock on the door. Hello?
I knock on the door very forcefully, very officially. Rap-a-tap-tap.
You knock on the door. You guys wait there for a few moments, and eventually you guys hear some shouting from inside.
Just a minute.
And the door goes swinging open to a large, and from what you guys can see, the interior is kind of a large central corridor with stairs that go all the way up to each floor. The guy in front of you definitely looks like he has seen better days. He is an old man, maybe in his 70s, maybe. He's got bushy eyebrows, stooped, crazy shock of white hair, big crucifix on it dangling from his neck. And he says, what can I do to help you?
Hannah Pickering.
What?
Hannah Pickering, sir. I'm investigating the murder of Hannah Pickering, and this address was perhaps one of her last known locations. I'm looking for information.
What's a Hannah Pickering? I'm guessing she's some kind of prostitute.
No.
What kind of house do you have here, sir?
What?
I'll whip out a notebook and I'll start writing. What kind of house do you have here, sir?
This is my home and apartments. Everybody, I've got tenants. I don't know any Hannah Pickering. And
can we speak to some of the residents? Are they home?
Who are you guys?
We're investigating the Hannah Pickering. How did you not see it? It was in the newspaper.
We're working on an official capacity with the police force here to investigate this murder.
So as you guys are talking, you guys hear faintly behind you the sound of unlatching and then a creaking as a trunk opens. And then as running up the sidewalk behind you guys from your car where he was stashed away.
No.
Well, hello, good sir. I see you're wearing a crucifix.
I push my way in.
Praise Jesus. Yes, I am.
Or would you perhaps be interested in one of these here Bibles that I sell?
That's a mighty fine Bible there,
oh,
sir.
Oh, yeah, let me show you it contains the word of the Lord. Let me just show you right here what the word of the Lord can do. And I pull out my pipe bomb.
Now
listen here. See, this is the word of the Lord, and the word of the Lord incinerates all. So we have some questions for you before this house goes up in flames.
This house? Why would you... This is a house of God.
Let's say we
this
sit
This is a
down.
House of suffering. Pure, honest suffering in the name of Jesus Christ.
Well, amen, brother. Amen, my son. Let's say we go sit down on a couch and talk about this with the word of God in my hand.
Yes, indeed. Let us go.
All right, let's all of us go.
Dolores and I have already walked inside the door. We didn't hear most of that.
We just ducked in as soon as he came up as a distraction.
He totally forgot the two of you existed as soon as he started engaging with a Bible salesman. As you guys are making your way in, I guess you guys are going up the steps because he's actually leading him in towards the door for the first floor.
Yes.
We're
going to go to where that weak sauce jazz music was coming from.
So you guys make your way up to the second floor. As you guys are walking up the stairs, you guys hear a chanted chorus of praise Jesus, hallelujah, coming from below you as the Bible salesman and the landlord engage each other. He is sacred to me. Deep in my heart, this suffering of this entire building is his will, and through it we become pure, that we may better understand him. You see, for the Lord suffered so that we can suffer, so that when we die miserable deaths, bleeding and puking and shitting our guts out, we can ascend to heaven, where we can suckle at the teat of righteousness.
Amen. Amen. Little baby vanilla Jesus.
The two of you make your way up to the second floor, rap on the door. The door has been flung open to apartment 2. There is a relatively well-heeled looking college student. How can I help you, cats?
There's two of them, right?
There's just one guy.
Just one guy. Have you heard of a Hannah...
Pickering. Hannah Pickering. That name ring any bells for you?
No.
Blonde girl, 20s.
Walks with a limp.
Her name's not Hannah.
That a fact.
Yeah.
What's her name, friend?
Miriam.
You don't say.
Does this Miriam have a last name?
I don't remember. H something.
Well, what can... Miriam... let me tell you something about Miriam.
Yeah, she lives up in the attic.
Up in the attic, yeah. What do you know about Miriam?
She's a hot piece, let me tell you.
Really into limps, huh?
A real ripe tomato, huh?
Oh, yeah. I've been there a few times.
No shit. Get out of town. Well, look, man. You know she was pregnant?
What? Oh, well, no, I didn't know that. That's a real, it's a real guess.
I mean, you had her a couple times. Is she going steady with anybody?
Well, had her, not really so much. But anyways, I don't know, man. She sees a lot of guys.
Is that a business for her? She just sees a lot of guys.
Yeah, she's real friendly.
Yeah? All right. Well, what's your name, pal?
Uptike. Spencer Uptike.
Spencer.
Does it sound like total bullshit?
Yeah. Who are you guys? Who do you work for?
We're operating in an official capacity here.
Really?
Spencer.
Oh. So, why? What's the matter?
You know what? We're gonna check out that room. You chill out here. We might come back, got some questions, but hey, don't worry, pal. You're just fine. You're just fine.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You don't have blood on your hands. Wink. Walk out the door.
Shit.
What?
Hey, she's real funny. Tell you what, you keep practicing that jazz music, okay?
Yeah, I know how to play the instruments.
Yeah, well, hey, tell you what, you know, you keep playing. Maybe I'll show you a thing or two. Just mellow out, friend. Mellow out.
Yeah, sure.
Do what you gotta do.
Blood. Okay. Bye.
She's like, her name's Miriam. So what's the last name? Miriam Webster. And you see the dictionaries on the shelf. You son of a bitch!
Join us next week for an all-new episode of the Call of Cthulhu Mystery Program, Monday, here on the Nerdy Show Podcast Network. And don't forget, you can subscribe to receive all the latest episodes on iTunes and SoundCloud via our network-wide feed, as well as our new feed for all our dramatic podcasts, Nerdy Show Theater, at nerdyshow.com/theater. You know, I went to the optometrist today. Looks like I'm going to need a new pair of glasses. You know, eyes are funny things, aren't they? They can tell you a lot about a person. Like a tell during a game of cards. Someone might twitch if they're bluffing. Then there's the old superstition that if your eye starts twitching involuntarily, it might be an omen. If it's the right eye, you're going to hear some good news. And if it's the left, well, you better keep an eye out. I know, you're thinking, ay, 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 enough about eyes already. Well, I hope you'll allow me one final musing on the world of optics. This is a song performed by Architects of Fear. Rather interesting group that incorporates an unusual new instrument called the autoharp. And this is a song called Eyes.
You see sin in the devil, but the Lord has told us what to do about it. Said Matthew in chapter 5, if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out!
I have a photograph in optic epitaph. About 2 months ago, a green eyeball was seen up in the sky. This eyeball was so big it blotted out the sun, okay?
Thanks for listening to the Call of Cthulhu Mystery Program. If you like what you heard, please rate and review us on iTunes, like and follow us on SoundCloud, or give your feedback at nerdyshow.com/survey. Episode 4, Hot Leads and Dirty Deeds, was performed by Kalen Boehm, Doug Banks, Cap Blackett, Rule Knudsen, Brendan Gerson, and Game Master Luke Stram, with additional voice work by Jessica Ullman. It was edited and produced by Colin Peterson and Cap Blackett. Original score was composed and performed by Ryan McQuinn and Mike McQuinn, and is available on Nerdy Show's Bandcamp. This campaign is based on Behold the Mother from the Call of Cthulhu module Dead Reckonings, published by Chaosium Incorporated. All characters appearing are fictitious, and any resemblance to real persons living or dead is purely coincidental. You can find character sheets, bios, and other bonus content at nerdyshow.com/Cthulhu. The Call of Cthulhu Mystery Program and all programs on the Nerdy Show Network are made possible by the support of listeners like you. Join us on Patreon and receive outtakes, early releases, and other bonus content. Just head to nerdyshow.com/support. To find out how you or your company could underwrite this or other Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com/sponsorships. And don't forget, you can also help fund the Nerdy Show Network by shopping on Amazon. Just head to nerdyshow.com/Amazon for more details. This has been the Call of Cthulhu Mystery Program. Good night.